Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are reimagining the future of customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Emily Jackson.
And we are excited to have a really great conversation today. So Emily, let's get right into it. What is your hot take?
All right. So this might not seem earth-shattering, but it's something from experience that I think is so true, and we don't dive enough into this. So my hot take is that you don't have to be the loudest one in the room to be a leader in your field, whatever that may be. I'm personally in sales, and usually people think the louder, the better in sales, right? The more outspoken, the more extroverted. And you know what? That's not me naturally. And so I don't know how I got here. I mean, that's a whole other story. But you don't have to be that loudest person. You don't have to be that extrovert. I think when you think about the word loud, right? When you think of someone who is loud, you think extrovert, you think outspoken, maybe even well, because you think someone who's like giving presentations and just like the life of the party. And so let's just talk about in that sales aspect where in the world that I'm in, you think that's the person who is getting those leads, who is building those customer relationships because they're that way. I'm not saying you can't do it that way. You absolutely can. But what I think is even better and what customers appreciate more is quiet leadership. That individual who is just listening to that customer concern, interested in collaborating, and not just trying to get their word in, or let me just tell you about this product and the features and the prices and the, you know, all of that stuff. So I think that is something that we need to be like cautious of more, of not having or feeling like we have to be the loudest in the room. And I would also say that as a woman in a male dominated field, a lot of times you think, I have to do that. I have to be loud or else I'm not going to be taken serious. But from what I've experienced, let's say for a sales meeting, I don't say a whole lot typically, but when I do say something, everybody listens because they know it must be something really legitimate if I'm speaking up on the topic.
I am a reluctant seller. I'll say I'm an accidental seller. And now I refer to myself as a recovering seller. And one of the things that I came across when I was first getting started in my sales career is someone was talking about the way people show up in that sales environment. Exactly right. The perception that you have to be the loudest center of attention. And they gave me an analogy that I was like, really, really resonated with me. So she's like, if you went to the bar and there was a guy standing in the middle of the room and he was listing off his accomplishments and shouting as loud as he could and pointing to his muscles and pointing to his shirt and talking about how amazing he is and what a catch he is, how many women do you think would be flocking to talk to him? And yeah. I'm like, oh, I would be like on the other side of the room as far away from that guy as possible. And she's like, how many salespeople are doing that? How many people are standing in the middle of the room pointing out everything that makes them amazing and their product amazing, and they're not actually reading the room, right? And it's an analogy that stuck with me for almost a decade now, because I never want someone to perceive me as like the frat bro in the bar that everyone's trying to avoid.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that you kind of mentioned that analogy, because I think in the sales environment, you know, we're traveling a lot of the times, we're doing those customer dinners, those customer bar nights and so on. Maybe not in that like dating aspect, but you know, you're talking with customers and trying to get a feel of what they're interested in. But in whatever situation, the boardroom, the dinner table, if you're taking them out to a meal, listening to what they actually want first and foremost before you're speaking up on your products. You might be excited about, you know, your products and great, you should be, but you need to know or understand what that customer actually needs beforehand. And they're going to appreciate that so much more. And that also makes me think about like, so I'm an introverted person. And so that loud, you know, in your face person just makes me like uncomfortable. And some people probably just thrive and love all of that interaction. But that's definitely more of a task for me, just because it's I don't want to call it a show, but it's definitely, it's taxing for sure. you know, when I'm seeing people just be really out there in that environment and just, you know, a life of the party type of scenario in that business environment, you know, I like to just take the complete opposite approach. I do want to get to know the customer. I think it's a great opportunity at those dinners or if you're having like a bar night, it is a great opportunity to get to know them. Absolutely. You want to know, of course, what they need in regards to your product, but you do want to get to know them on a personal level, at least somewhat, because you want to build that relationship. Anytime you're dealing with customers, you want to build the rapport with them. You want to have a relationship with them. And make sure that you're building that trust. That's what it's all about. So, you know, I keep it business related as much as possible. And then, you know, of course, get to know them on a little bit of a personal level too. And you can do that as an introvert, you know, kind of with just some basic topics. So I think that's a little bit easier than in your face. Let's go to the bar and let's talk about product.
Well, I think you made a point. You said it twice. You have to get to know them, like, and double underline on the word them, because I have seen sellers go into those environments and they have a script in their head of the things that they want to get through and the things that they want to talk about and the things that they got to tell the customer. And if they don't get through this script, then the whole meal was a failure, right? And it's painful to watch. And it's even more painful to be like when it's your colleague and you just want to kick them under the table and be like, you need to stop talking. But I do think that there is a little bit of a need for, like, in this day and age, and maybe you're seeing something different, to do a little bit of that self-promotion so that you even can get into the room. So, like, I have to go out and tell people what I'm trying to do and try to open the door so that I can get in there. But make it a personal goal that once I'm in the room, to just shut up and let the conversations happen and maybe be human and not have an ulterior motive.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to pitch yourself as far as, hey, you can trust me because of this. So you want to pitch yourself first and foremost before even talking about products or, hey, here's what we have for you. And really even before, you know, getting to know exactly what they need in this project or whatever it may be. So yeah, you have to do that first in selling yourself, before you really set the stage for any type of actual project or, you know, hey, you should buy this type of conversation.
What do you think is, like, if we're having this conversation and, like you said at the beginning, the hot take isn't necessarily like the spiciest because it should be common sense. And maybe it's just because we're both introverts. So we're like, obviously that's the answer. So if we're kind of in wild agreement about this, why do you think people are missing the mark?
You know, I think that for so long, the most outspoken, in-your-face person is portrayed as a leader. And that's, right. Think of an outspoken person or a great leader. We might instantly think, just culturally, that person is outspoken. They always tell it like it is. They're always going to let you know how they feel. Just culturally, we've said that's what a great leader is. And even if you're not in a leadership role, when you're in a sales role or when you're pitching a product, you're your own leader. I mean, you, like we said, you're selling yourself, right? So if you're not in somebody's face and really out there, extroverted, are you really able to sell yourself? That's kind of the question that we've all kind of, well, gosh, we've been told you can't, because you really have to, you got to be this bubbly personality and you've got to really just sell it. I'm saying in my experience, you don't have to be that way. You just have to be personable and to listen and take action after you listen. I think the biggest, we all know words are words, but actions are really going to show your customer if they can trust you or not. So after those conversations, are you really following up with what you said you're going to do? And I think that's the biggest thing that will show, you know, your commitment to them and then also show that you're a leader. So
right. I want to double click on that because it's so true. And I think the stereotypical sales personality is not necessarily known for being great at the follow-up part of things, unless there's a deal that needs to close or a quota that they'd have to hit. But if you're talking to me and you tell me you will do something and you don't do it, my perception of you is there's really only two things. Either one, you're irresponsible, or two, you weren't really listening to me in the first place, and what you told me you were going to do was an empty platitude. And neither of those things are the way that I want to be perceived by anyone, let alone a prospective customer.
Right. And, you know, my thing for that, and this is where my, just, I think both of our personality types, if you're an introverted person, a lot of the times introverted people are also highly organized. That's just what I've found. Maybe it's not true in every sense, but that's what I've found. And when you're working with customers, organization is key, because you know what organization does for me? It makes it to where after I follow up with you one time, I've got a list of, I followed up with this person on this date. And so a few weeks later, I'm following up on this date. And then a month later, I'm following up. So that consistency, honestly, has paid off for me time and time and again. I was actually just talking to a colleague today about, you know, working with customers in the sense that in a sales cycle, it can be so long. You might be working with a customer for several years or a year time frame and not really getting leads or specific opportunities. But you know what? You keep reaching out to them. They remember you. They're going to reach back out when they do need something, because you've been organized, you've been consistent, and you've built that trust throughout those reach outs. So now I might be wrong on that introverted people are organized, but hey, that's just what I personally think.
And I think the word I'm going to key in on there is consistency, right? We as human beings, as people, and this is where my college psychology degree is going to come out. But generally, like, we don't like inconsistency. We like to know what's going on. We like to know what's happening. We like things to be semi-predictable, you know, and the idea that you can build relationships and be super inconsistent, I think you're going to find that's really hard, right? If you show up one time and you're super organized, and then the next time you're super disorganized, and then one time you're really listening, and the next time you're just pitching, if you are Jekyll and hiding your customers over and over again, or just only showing up, you know, 30 days before the renewal, they're going to pick up on that. Whether they realize it consciously or not, they're going to start to pick up on that you are not necessarily 100% someone they can trust and rely on.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of goes back to our first points of getting to know that customer a little bit, right? If you get to know that customer a little bit and have those consistent reach outs, that automatically is going to build trust. I mean, no matter what you want to say or do in life, just as when, as we're growing up in kids, first impressions mean something. And just as you mentioned, if you're inconsistent from the get-go, or maybe that first time you were consistent and then the next time totally different, they are going to pick up on that. And they're going to go somewhere else, unfortunately, is what they're going to seek, that consistency. We all want that, whether we think about it really or not. But it makes our lives easier when people selling to us are consistent, and then when we're consistent back. So I think that's a big thing. I guess that's kind of a hot take in and of itself, that consistency piece right there. So
yeah, you don't have to be good at selling. You just have to be consistent, and you know, you'll probably be better than 90% of the sellers that are out there.
Yeah, I love that. You know, My background is I definitely never would have thought I would be in sales. And it's just because I'm an introverted person and I just couldn't see myself like constantly having those customer relationships and things. Cause I was like, oh, I'm not going to be good at that. I'm not like an outgoing personality type, but I'm a good listener and I do know how to be consistent and continue relationship building. And so that's what sales is really about. If you want to succeed at it, that's what it's about.
So what do you think is the biggest blind spot for leaders in our organizations today? What are they missing when it comes to keeping quiet leaders at the center of the conversation without, you know, burning them out as an introvert or having them sit in the corner and be totally ignored? What are we missing?
Yeah, you know, I am glad that you brought that up, because this is something that I was actually talking to my mentor about this past month, because, you know, anytime I'm on calls, again, as I mentioned, you know, I don't speak out a ton, just if I really have something to say. And he's a leader in the organization, and he made a point on our next call to say, hey, Emily, is there anything that you'd like to add? And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's opening the door for me to say something here. Now, did that make me nervous? Sure did. But I did have something to say, but I didn't feel like I could say it until he opened that door. So I think the point there is awareness of your employees. And that comes with getting to know your employees, just like your customers. You have to know, is Emily an introvert? Is that somewhere that she feels more comfortable and maybe she needs that extra push to speak up in those environments? And can I give her a hand there? So I think that awareness piece is really big for leaders.
One of the words that keeps coming up in my leadership conversations is the word permission. And this perception, especially amongst either young in career or particularly women, this idea that we need permission to take up the space that we're in, and whether we do or not, right? But sometimes we perceive it that way. And if our leader just simply opens the door for us and gives us the permission, the empowerment, the opportunity, or even just the space to either add something or not. Maybe you didn't have anything to add, but how gratifying was it for you to have an opportunity to add something of value if you so chose?
Yeah, I mean, that just made me feel, well, obviously it made me feel heard because he gave me that opportunity. And this was pretty quickly after we had just talked about that in one of our mentorship meetings. So it immediately opened the door there. And one, it got me more comfortable with doing that afterwards without him even saying anything. So just that one instance was like, oh, nothing bad happened. Nobody yelled at me for saying this. And so great. Now I can keep speaking my mind when it's valuable. So I think that just that at least one opportunity or occasional opportunity to do that from a leader is just really, it's going to catapult to further comfort for your employees. So
I have a two-part question for you then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you both parts and then feel free to tackle whichever one you think first. So if I'm a leader and I want to create and start like taking a step towards creating an environment where my maybe not loudest people in the room feel like they have the permission or the opportunity or it's open space for them to start to speak up, what is the one thing you would have me start doing? And then on the flip side, if I'm an individual who feels like I have leadership potential, but I fall into that kind of quiet leadership kind of a bucket, what is the one thing you would have them start doing to start really stepping into that and owning that position of power?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for the leader's perspective, I would go back to the getting to know your employees. Really getting to know them on more of a personal level. I know, especially in the world of sales, it is fast paced. We're constantly got something going on. And especially those leadership positions, they're thinking not just right now, but strategically 6 months, year down the line, 2 years down the line. So I know it's a lot, but if you don't get to know your employees and where they're comfortable and where they're not, then that's going to affect you. Maybe not so much in the short term, but in the long term. Not just with keeping employees, but just their success in their roles. Because if they don't feel comfortable as they can open up and speak in those environments and have a voice, then they're going to get disgruntled. They're going to get, I'm not part of this organization or nobody really wants to hear from me. And then it's just going to be tumultuous for you as a leader. And then I would say on a personal level, one of the things that I just try to like tell myself, and maybe this is a weird thing, but I feel like we all talk to ourselves sometimes, right? Like give yourself a little pep talk. So what I like to do is I like to tell myself, I can do something hard today. And that something hard might be speaking up at a meeting, or it might be having an uncomfortable conversation with a customer. So I think the more you do it, practice makes perfect, right? And it makes us more comfortable. So just getting in there and doing that hard thing or letting your voice be heard. And another thing I will say is I love Brené Brown. And in one of her books, I've read many of them, but she talks about the stories we tell ourselves. And the stories we tell ourselves is all about thinking about the worst case scenario anytime you're saying something or doing something. So for this example, it might be, if I say something in a sales meeting, everyone's going to laugh at me and they're going to think I don't know what I'm talking about. Is that really going to happen? Probably not. Really, the worst that could happen is probably they're just not going to agree with what you say. So let's not tell ourselves the story of the worst case scenario. let's take a step back and say, hey, what, how bad could it really be if I just get in here in this meeting or have this tough customer conversation?
I like the idea too, because I feel that way about like the way the world is moving and everything is so fast paced and everything is instant and always on and on demand. And the idea of your leader choosing on purpose to slow down and to take a step out to exist in the moment of understanding your employees and who they are. I think that's harder than it sounds, but incredibly important to your point.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, definitely the best leaders out there, I'm sure everyone has, I hope everyone's experienced good leadership, but they will do that automatically. You don't have to really speak to them about doing that and opening up that kind of safe space and getting to know you. But it's okay also to ask your leader to, hey, you know, I'm not comfortable. Just bring it up to them. Say, hey, you know, I'm not comfortable in these meetings because I don't feel like I have a space to talk. Are you able to, you know, help open the door? It's okay to ask for that. They may not be aware of that because, again, they're doing so many different things. Maybe they have hundreds of employees or something. Maybe they're just, you know, got a lot going on. It's okay for you to advocate for yourself in that way as well.
Again, having that permission to do that, right? Because sometimes advocating for myself feels like whining, right? I'm just complaining. I'm just, you know, I'm not pulling myself up by my bootstraps. I'm not getting what I want or getting what I deserve because I earned it. And I think that that's probably a very dangerous mindset because, you know, how many people have been successful simply because they asked for what they wanted, right? And why is that so hard for some of us who are just trying to build something cool, but it doesn't always, you know, come to fruition because we aren't willing to ask for what we want.
Probably the worst they can say is no, right?
So.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Emily, thinking about all the incredible people that you know or aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we build these relationships, not only with our customers, but with each other?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many, like, you know, famous people out there and authors and so, and things that I could mention, but who really comes to mind is actually a partner of ours that I work with pretty regularly. And she's the partnership and marketing manager for this value-added reseller that we partner with or that we work with. And the thing that really stands out about her is her ability to build this community with her partners. So she manages partners like me that are these vendor partners. And the way that she builds connections and community with the whole partner system is she has this, just like we were talking about, she gets to know you. She has these one-on-one conversations, interactions with you. She keeps that in. She actually remembers things about you that you've mentioned, your personal life and so on. She does those follow-ups. She's always intentional with her reach-outs. If she's reaching out to you about something, it's not just, hey, we've got this new marketing initiative. Can you give us this money? It's, hey, how is everything working for you? Is there something that my team could be doing better to help sell your product? I mean, so she's always thinking about us, the partner, and not just thinking about, oh, hey, we need some more money for this and so on, which I understand that's absolutely a part of her job. And she has to say some of that, of course, but she does it in a way where you just feel like this personal connection. And it's gotten to a point where she has such a good connection, you know, with me, is that I feel like we're friends. I mean, I think, you know, we're friends. I can reach out to her and ask, like, hey, what do you think about us trying this new way of reaching the sales reps? She's open to those conversations because she's built that relationship. And I've built that relationship because of how she is. So, the highly collaborative type of communicative environment that she's created, I think, is really transformative. And in this type of environment, whether it's sales or any type of other role, is just really important to have that openness, that communication, and that type of community building when you're dealing with partners and customers.
And Emily, if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more, they want to talk about sales or being an introvert or finding what it takes to become a quiet leader, where can they find you online?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Emily Jackson, and I work for RF Ideas. So if you just look up Emily Jackson and or RF Ideas, I'm a senior channel manager there. I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn and talk with you further. Please message me on there. Happy to answer any questions you have, and would love to have some conversations with you. I love building my network, and I hope you do too, because it's really, really important to keep building your network. So would love to connect.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. This was a great conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.